Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things in existence. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya'illahi. May Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most honored of the creation of Allah, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, the chief of the messengers, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, our Prophet Muhammad and likewise all of his family and companions. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then on this afternoon of the second day of Sha'ban in the year 1438, we come together with our brothers via telelink at the Tarbiyah Initiative of South Florida. And we're here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal, the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Our meeting at this time is to read from Thalathatul Usul, the three fundamental principles, by the great scholar, Shaykhul Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, using the explanation of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. In our previous discussions, in fact, in our last two classes, we've been talking about the topic of al-hijrah, emigration. And today, after learning about the first condition from the words of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, the first necessary condition to be fulfilled for someone to live in the lands of the disbelievers is that he be a person of religion, a person of religiosity, that he be a person practicing his religion and he has knowledge of his religion. So then on page 133 near the bottom, we continue our discussion on this topic, reading الشرط الثاني, the second condition. And that is, أن يتمكن من إظهار دينه, that he is able to openly manifest his religion, بحيث يقوم بشعائر الإسلام, where he can establish openly the open symbols of Al-Islam, بدون ممانع, without anyone trying to prevent him from doing that. فلا يمنع من إقامة الصلاة والجمعة والجماعات. So he is not prevented from establishing prayer, Jumu'ah, and congregational prayers, إن كان معه من يصلي جماعة, so long as he has someone with him to pray in congregation, ومن يقيم الجمعة, and those who would establish the Jumu'ah prayer. ولا يمنع من الزكاة والصيام والحج وغيرها من شعائر الدين. And also he is not stopped from paying his zakat, from fasting, from making hajj, and other matters from the outward signs or outward symbols of practice of Islam, of the religion. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا يَتَمَكَّنُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ لَمْ تَجُزُ الْإِقَامَةُ لِوُجُوبِ الْهِجْرَةِ حِينَ إِذٍ. In such a case, if he's not able to establish those matters, then it's not permissible for him to live in the lands of the disbelievers in that case, because of the obligation of emigrating, leaving that land that would be upon him at that time. Now remember, he said before about the practice of Islam openly, ala wajhin am, in an all-inclusive, encompassing way of establishing the salah, meaning that these matters overtake the land. And that's when the land can be called the land of the Muslims. When the salat is established therein, perhaps not everyone establishes the salat, but it overwhelms the society. Then it's a Muslim land. So we're talking about in the lands of the disbelievers now, you can establish the salat, pay the zakat, establish the pillars of al-Islam. In doing that, that makes it possibly permissible to live there. قَالَ فِي الْمُغْنِي, he said in al-Mughni, and he is al-Muwaffaq ibn Qudamah. He died in the year 620, one of the great early scholars of the Hanbali Madhab. In volume 8, page number 457, as quoted by the Shaykh here, فِي الْكَلَامِ عَلَىٰ أَقْسَامِ النَّاسِ فِي الْهِجْرَةِ, in his discussion about the categories of the people as it relates to the topic of hijrah, emigration, he said, أَحَدُهَا مَنْ تَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهَا, the one who has to make hijrah, it's binding on him to emigrate while he is someone who is able, وَلَا يُمْكِنُهُ إِظْهَارُ دِينِهِ And he is not able, meaning in his place currently, to openly practice his religion. وَلَا تُمْكِنُهُ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ وَاجِبَاتِ دِينِهِ مَعَ الْمَقَامِ بَيْنَ الْكُفَّارِ And it's not possible for him to establish the obligations of his religion whilst living amongst the disbelievers. In that case, فَهَذَا تَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الْهِجْرَةُ Such a person, it is binding on him to make emigration. He must leave that land. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى Due to the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ Verily, those whom the angels take their souls, whilst they are self-oppressive, قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ The angels say to them, In what situation were you in? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ They say we were downtrodden, we were overpowered in the land. قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا And so they say, the angels then say in response, Was not the earth of Allah expansive? فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا In order for you to emigrate and move about in it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ Such people, their abode shall be Jahannam, the hellfire. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا And what a terrible abode. That's from Surah An-Nisa, the 97th verse. وَهَذَا وَعِيدٌ شَدِيدٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْوُجُوبِ And this is a severe threat of punishment that shows the obligation for those who would be required to avoid this threat of punishment. لِأَنَّ الْقِيَامَ بِوَاجِبِ دِينِهِ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى مَنْ قَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ Because establishing the obligations in one's religion is an obligation on all of those who are capable of doing so. وَالْهِجْرَةُ مِنْ ضَرُورَةِ الْوَاجِبِ وَتَتِمَّتِهِ And so therefore emigrating, leaving that land, that's from the necessary matters of obligations and that which fulfills or completes obligations. وَمَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهِ And matters that obligations cannot be fulfilled without them, فَهُوَ wajib. They are themselves wajib, obligatory. Meaning, the land that he lives in of the land of the disbelievers. And they say no one is allowed to get a hajj visa here. We do not allow Muslims to go make hajj. Or no one is allowed to openly proclaim something like Allahu Akbar or be seen praying. And there are places like that. Lands of atheists where they forbid religious practices in totality. In lands like that, he's required to leave those lands. If you've understood the speech of the Sheikh, then the situation we have in America with freedom of religion, that in and of itself does not require the people to leave that land. And I say in and of itself, as there are other matters that come into play here, but that by itself is not something that we say because of that you are required to leave the land. And that's the end of the quote from Al-Mughni, the great Hanbali fiqh book by Ibn Qudama. The scholars have mentioned Al-Mughni specifically as a book is one of the greatest books of Islam, one of the best and most expansive books of fiqh. And Al-Dhahabi said whoever reads this book and three others, those books that are expansive and they discuss issues of differing with evidences, and they discuss the matters that the scholars differ over based on the different madhabs. Whoever reads them much, then he will be a true scholar. They are Al-Mughni by Ibn Qudama, and Al-Tamhid by Ibn Abd al-Barr in Maliki Fiqh, and Al-Sunan al-Kubara in Shafi'i Fiqh by Al-Bayhaqi, and Al-Muhalla by Ibn Hazm in Zahiri Fiqh. These are all like comparative fiqh books and they're exhaustively large. These are four books that the scholars say if you are firm in all of the matters mentioned in these four books, then you are a scholar in due right. وَبَعْدَ تَمَامِ هَذَيْنَ الشَّرْطَيْنِ الْأَسَاسِيَيْنِ That after these two basic conditions for all people, conditions that when they're fulfilled it may be permissible to live in the lands of disbelievers, After these two, then تَنْقَسِمُ الْإِقَامَةُ فِي دَارِ الْكُفْرِ إِلَىٰ أَقْسَامٍ Then the concept of living in the lands of the disbelievers can be broken down into a number of categories. The kinds of people who live in the lands of non-Muslims. الْقِسْمُ الْأَوَّلُ أَنْ يُقِيمَ لِلدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ وَالتَّرْغِيبِ فِيهِ that he lives there in order to call to Islam and to invite and encourage people to accept it. فَهَذَا نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ This is a kind of jihad, the struggle for the sake of making the religion uppermost. فَهِيَ فَارَضُ كِفَايَةٍ عَلَى مَنْ قَدَرَ عَلَيْهَا It is a community obligation that is upon those who are able to fulfill it. بِشَرْطِ أَن تَتَحَقَّقَ الدَّعْوَةُ وَأَن لَا يُوجَدَ مَنْ يَمْنَعُ مِنْهَا With the condition that the call to al-Islam is actualized. He is really calling and not claiming to call, but he's able to call to Islam, and no one can stop him from calling to al-Islam legally, and so on. أَوْ مِنَ الْإِسْتِجَابَةِ إِلَيْهَا Or they stop others from responding to him. They may say, go ahead and call the people to whatever you want, but they don't allow anyone to actually respond to the message. In these cases, the da'wah is not actually being established. لِأَنَّ الدَّعْوَةَ إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ وَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ And this is permissible for people to live in the lands of non-Muslims to call to Islam because calling to Islam is from the obligations of the religion. وَهِيَ طَرِيقَةُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And it is the way of the messengers. وَقَدْ أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِالتَّبْلِيغِ عَنْهُ And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, has ordered people to convey the religion from him. فِي كُلِّ زَمَانٍ وَمَكَانٍ In each and every time and place. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ Convey this religion from me, even if it is just one verse. And that hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. So the first category of people living in the lands of the disbelievers is those who call to al-Islam, and they fulfill a community obligation in doing so. Al-Qism al-Thani, the second category, and يُقِيمَ لِدِرَاسَةِ أَحْوَالِ الْكَافِرِينَ This is a strange one, you don't hear this mentioned often, that a person lives amongst them to study the lifestyle, the various cultures of the non-Muslims. وَتَعَرُّفِ عَلَى مَا هُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَسَادِ الْعَقِيدَةِ And to get to know the kind of corruption that they are on of beliefs. وَبُطْلَانِ تَعَبُدِ And the false nature of their acts of worship. وَانْحِلَالِ الْأَخْلَاقِ And how terrible their manners are. Meaning to see the reality and the effects of the bad manners. وَفَوْضَوِيَّةِ السُّلُوكِ And their chaotic manners. لِيُحَذِّرَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الْإِغْتِرَارِ بِهِمْ In order to use that information to warn the people, meaning the Muslims, from being impressed by such people. وَيُبَيِّنَ لِلْمُعْجَبِينَ بِهِمْ حَقِيقَةَ حَالِهِمْ And in order to clarify to the people who are impressed by them the reality of their situation. SubhanAllah, how many people believe that in America it's green grass and everyone respects your property? And it's so peaceful and so nice and you never have to fear anything and worry about anything. And it's people just walking past each other, all concerned for each other. And it's so nice and beautiful. But the Middle East is a war zone. Everyone's ducking bullets and jumping behind walls just to stay alive. Pakistan is just people attacking you and ransom and kidnapping. And if you listen to the news, this is what you get with the Muslim lands. The Muslim lands are in chaos and in disarray, political disarray and social disarray, and everyone's running for their lives. In America, everyone is so safe and happy. Everyone's making so much money. Everyone has everything they need. Everyone has all of their services provided for them. Everyone has absolutely everything that makes them happy in America. And that's why people, because of this image presented to the world, people are in the lands of the Muslims feeling unsatisfied. They feel that in this land, we don't have real safety or real liberties. We have to go to America because America is the land of your dreams. America is the place where all of the dreams come true and all of the economic opportunities are all there in front of you. And everyone, you know, respects you and gives you your rights. But here we suffer from oppression. And here we suffer from a bad economy and lack of safety and lack of public services and things like this. For some reason, the Muslims choose to believe this. And they are a bit away from the realities of the two kinds of lands. Walhamdulillah. And imagine if every person that lived in the lands of the Muslims thought that the lands of the kuffar are better, more profitable, more respectful, more liberties, more freedoms, more economic possibilities. They all left the lands of the Muslims and they all lived scattered about in the lands of the non-Muslims. What happens to the Muslim lands? The best people leave, the people with the best qualities, the most qualifications, the ones most ambitious, you know, to chase after their dreams, these people leave. And who remains? The people who can't really do anything. And so what's left in the land of the Muslim is just the people who are ineffective. And then the lands of the Muslims become so weak, just weaker and weaker and weaker. And the lands of the non-Muslims become stronger because the people with qualifications, education, skills, they go there to earn economic opportunities and so on. And when they go there, their children suffer, their families suffer because of the aqidah being lost, the belief system being lost. The children wish to be like the neighbors, the non-Muslim neighbors, and lose their identity as Muslims and so on. And they suffer on a great level where the children aren't educated in Islamic schools. And the non-Muslims know this. And this is why they open their doors for people from the Muslim countries. And they say, you are so welcome here and we will take care of you and we will welcome you and we will make opportunities available for you. Because they know that's just one generation. The next generation is ours. We own them. We'll get them through the school system, through the education. These people who are insisting on keeping their cultural identity from their lands, they'll be dead in 20, 30 years. Their children will be ours. And this is how they think, this is how they plan, and how they absorb the best of the people from the various lands. Wallahu al-musta'an. We have to end here because our brothers in Florida have to stop for salat. Let me finish this paragraph and we will end with that, ending with the second category, I believe, right? In order to warn the people from their character and their realities. وَيُبَيِّنَ لِلْمُعْجَبِينَ بِهِمْ حَقِيقَةَ حَالِهِمْ. Read that. وَهَذِهِ الْإِقَامَةُ نَوْءٌ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ أَيْضًا. And this type of residency, living in the lands of the non-Muslims, in order to study their situation and to know more about them, so as to warn the people of their realities, it's a kind of jihad as well. لِمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ التَّحْذِيرِ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. Because of how it connects to warning against disbelief. وَأَهْلِهِ. And its people. الْمُتَضَمِّنِ لِلْتَرْغِيبِ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَهَدِّهِ. That which includes an invitation and an encouragement towards Islam and towards taking upon the guidance of Islam. لِأَنَّ فَسَادَ الْكُفْرِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى صَلَاحِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And that's because the corruption of disbelief is an evidence for the righteousness of al-Islam. كَمَا قِيلَ وَبِضِدِّهَا تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءِ. As it is said, through opposites, the things are known. When you know the opposite of something, then you know it. لَكِنْ لَبُدَّ مِنْ شَرْطِ أَنْ يَتَحَقَّقَ مُرَادُهُ. However, it's a must that the condition be fulfilled that what he intends, meaning of studying their situation and being able to benefit the Muslims with that information, actually takes place. بِدُونِ مَفْسَدَةٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنْهُ. Without a harm that's greater than that taking place upon him. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَحَقَّقْ مُرَادُهُ بِأَنْ مَنَعَ مَنْ نَشَرَ مَاهُمْ عَلَيْهِ. If that goal is not accomplished, that he would be prevented from spreading the news about what they are upon. وَالتَّحْذِيرِ مِنْهُ. And from warning against their culture or their lands. فَلَا فَائِدَةَ مِنْ إِقَامَتِهِ. Then in that case there's no benefit in his staying there. Meaning it's not for just anyone, it's for a representative of the government to come and study and look. Otherwise an individual comes and he says, okay, I'm building a case here, I'm building information, and then he comes back and people say, you haven't been appointed for that. Then that is not the intended category here. وَإِنْ تَحَقَّقَ مُرَادُهُ مَعَ مَفْسَدَةٍ أَعْظَمَ مِثْلَ أَنْ يُقَابِلُ فِعْلَهُ بِسَبِّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَرَسُولِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَأَئِمَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And if he does accomplish his goal of studying the nature of the society of the non-Muslims, but it comes along with harm that's greater than that, like how they would respond by insulting Islam, saying negative things about Islam and the messenger of Islam and the imams of Islam, وجب الكف لقوله تعالى. Then that must be stopped and ceased due to the statement of Allah, ولا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله فيسبوا الله عدوا بغير علم. And do not insult, do not say words of abuse regarding the deities that they call upon besides Allah And as a result of your statement of abuse, they begin to insult Allah out of animosity and without knowledge. كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّا لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ. And thus we have decorated for every nation, عَمَلَهُمْ, their actions. ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ مَرْجِعُهُمْ. And then to their Lord is their return. فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And then he shall inform them of what they used to do. وَيُشْبِهُ هَذَا أَنْ يُقِيمَ فِي بِلَادِ الْكُفْرِ. And this resembles the kind of person who lives in a land of the non-Muslims. لِيَكُونَ عَيْنًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. To be like a scout for the Muslims. لِيَعْرِفَ مَا يُدَبِّرُوهُ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنَ الْمَكَايِدِ. So he will come to know of the kinds of plots that they are preparing to hatch upon the Muslims. فَيَحْذَرَهُمُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. So in order for the Muslims to be warned of them and to be aware of them, كما أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حذيفة بن اليمان إلى المشركين. As the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, sent حذيفة ibn اليمان to the polytheist في غزوة الخندق, during the battle of Khandaq, ليعرف خبرهم, in order to know about their situation. And that's from Sahih Muslim. And just as a reminder, that is a very rare case, and that is something that is considered a military strategy or a governmental strategy that is to be taken care of the leaders and the established Muslim leaders. And it's done at wartime, as you've heard here, the mention of the Battle of Khandaq. So it's at the time of military opposition, they send someone into the enemy land in order to know about the situation and to provide information about that. That's not a peacetime activity based on the words of the Shaykh, and Allahu Ta'ala knows best. This is what Allah has made easy for us to read from the explanation of Al-Usul Al-Thalatha this afternoon. And because our brothers are scheduled to establish Maghrib, or they were scheduled to establish Maghrib a few minutes ago, we apologize to them for our late start today and for delaying them from their salat, and we'll allow them to go at this time. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa fiikum. If there are questions locally or concerns or corrections to errors that I've made.
What did you say, the military opposition?
In legitimate military opposition is sending forth a spy or a scout. He lives amongst the non-Muslims. So we're talking about cases of people who live in the lands of the disbelievers. So at wartime, they may send, you know, a scout to live in the land of the non-Muslims to watch them and to send back information. That's well known in military strategy. It's always important for us to stress what is military strategy, meaning there is military strategy in Islam, which is not the business of the everyday Muslim, especially if he is not enlisted in the Muslim army under a legitimate ruler, and rather he is a citizen in a land where there is an understanding of peaceful coexistence, then that is the course of his actions. His actions all revolve around the understanding he has with his neighbors and the government over him, and that is peaceful coexistence. He is not allowed to violate the trusts and the understanding that come along with that relationship. And you know, there's always this thing that people will try to say, well, Muslims talk about fighting and jihad and things like that. Well, yeah, you have non-Muslims, you have your military codes, you have your military ethics, you have your military handbooks, you have your training manuals for how to train your soldiers in your basic training to kill on the battlefield. And for us to take your training manual for your soldiers and to say this is the book that the Americans live by, all of them. Is every American trained to kill? Is every American going through basic training in the army being trained to kill? No, it's only a select few who are enlisted in the official army. Can we blame America for having an army and for having training sessions where they train their soldiers? We can't blame them for that. It's the right of a country to have an army and to have training and all of that. Is it fair for us to take their admonitions and their ethics out of their books of military codes and say this represents the lifestyle of the average American? He may implement these things at the bank or at a university. He may decide to take a prisoner of war. He may decide to interrogate that prisoner of war at the bank. That would be unfair, and we don't do that. And that's absurd that you've never even heard of a Muslim claiming that this is the way of the Americans. But how often is the case that the non-Muslims take verses from the Qur'an, not understanding the nature of the Qur'an, that it's a book that includes guidance for every sphere of life. So they take the verses that talk about military ethics, that are for the military, and they say this is the methodology of the everyday Muslim. He may apply these verses at any time. He may become activated in his religion, and he may fight them wherever you find them. He may decide to start killing and fighting. And this is the nature of these Muslims and their barbaric religion and all of that. Look how unfair it is. Yet many Muslims don't know this response to this angle. That this is clearly unfair that you take our guidelines, our ethics, our rulings that are for the battlefield and only for the battlefield, and you say this is the way of the everyday Muslim in his daily life. Absolutely unfair and double standard. Because we don't do that with your military handbook and your rules and your ethics for your military interactions. We believe that those are something specific to your sergeants and your training routines and your soldiers and your infantrymen and your, you know, your military training sessions. And so, out of fairness, we cannot say that these are the Americans and their ethics that they live by in their everyday lives. But they say that about us so often. Wallahu al-musta'an.